Welcome everybody to the Sunday night, a hot Sunday night with Omega 64 boys. Wow. You're here with Omega 64 boys on a hot Sunday night. We're talking video games, movies, televisions, all forms of entertainment. But first, we're going to break down the newest fashion trends. That's right.
Yeah.
Hot off the presses, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny's hat. Look at that.
Dude, check it out.
Yellow, banana yellow.
Look at that jersey style toque.
Banana yellow.
Yeah, I got this from a McDonald's meal. Check it out. Oh, I'm at the Freehold Mall.
Johnny, oh my God, have mercy on these people.
Johnny is rocking the branded apparel look this evening. Yeah. It is very authentic. It is his style.
Mm-hmm. And I like, this is kind of a New Jersey thing to do too.
Large
I've been
and
hearing.
In charge. Yeah.
Is you, through science, expand your bone structure to where you're three times your normal size.
Yeah, they had to break the bones of my leg and extend them.
I don't know if you're actually bigger or if your look is so attractive, you're just appearing larger.
Well, that's the new thing, is you dress to look bigger.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a jersey style.
You use a vertical stripe versus horizontal. I don't know how it works, but I'll leave it to the scientists.
But Johnny.
Yes.
You are nothing but child's play.
Oh, shit.
Sitting next to the master himself.
I can't compare.
The drip master.
Derek Acosta. Rocking Mega 64 brand apparel.
Look at that.
Our sexy Madden cheerleader shirt. Is this available now? I don't know. You'll have to shop for yourself. What was that?
Sold out.
Sold out, which means it's rare. You'll have to get it on eBay for $500.
At least.
How's that make you feel, Johnny?
I'm nothing compared to this.
Yeah, get off me. get this bug away from me.
I got to clear up a spot here for you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm enough about fashion talk. We don't want to hear about our clothes all night.
Wait, we're stopping there?
Okay, we'll keep going. Garrett, dressed in the beautiful gray tones, neutral, not offensive, not picking sides. In this era of America where everything is so divisive, ooh, I like mustard, I like ketchup. Garrett is here to say, can't we all eat salt? Yes. Garrett is the seasoning that makes everything taste better.
Savory.
He's very savory. Gary is umami.
Mm.
Is it okay if I call you Gary?
Yeah, I like that. Okay. I want to shorten it up.
Little Gary.
Shorten it up.
This is what it's like.
Little Gary and Daddy Pop Johnny.
Yeah.
Big Johnny taking me to the desert.
All right. Well, that's enough about clothes.
Okay.
We don't need to talk about clothes.
That's where we're
all
cutting it. Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah.
Rocco, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, we can. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I just wanted to say, I really like Slurpees.
That's right. Slurpees. It was a joke. Deal with it. You're talking to the phenom, Rocco Boney himself, decked out head to toe in 7-Eleven streetwear.
Wow. Oh, thank heaven!
It was the old switcheroo. Rocco was the one who was styling. Everybody else was looking normie. Rocco is wearing 1-800-711 swag. You got a problem, you're stranded in the middle of the desert, call Rocco up.
Wow.
He's gonna come running down the road like the Roadrunner. Like the red badge of courage, a Slurpee in each hand to rejuvenate you.
This is popping.
Pop one into your gas tank so you can drive back home.
I just wanna say, I love 7-Eleven. You have to ask them to get a Slurpee now, and they don't care if you wear a mask. They don't say anything.
Wait, you have to ask them to get a Slurpee?
Yeah, because it's all behind
the scenes.
They hand you a glove. They hand you one hand glove Slurpee to glove. Pour a Slurpee, which is if you ever see the movie Love and Pop, that's an actual fetish. A glove with a Slurpee.
Wow.
So I love 7-Eleven. Woo!
Theme song.
What?
You'll notice in that theme song, it's a wonderful theme song, by the way.
Sure is.
Johnny, you edited that.
Yeah, that's edited real cool.
I think it's appropriate that you use the footage of Sean Chatfield crying, because that's probably what Sean's doing as we speak.
Yeah.
Can we all agree?
He's got the FOMO so bad, it tears him up.
So in case, you know, we've been doing this show, we've been doing Mega 64 itself for a long time. So I don't know if this is news to anybody or if they've caught on yet. So just want to make it abundantly clear. September for Sean is hell month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's be careful how we word it, because all of his kids have birthdays in September.
Which is a joy.
Which is a joy.
Right?
The joy of children is a joy for everyone.
Yeah. So, hell month.
Yes. Yeah. He has kids' birthday parties like every weekend of September or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was informed once this month had started, he said, it's coming any day now.
Oh, no.
Hell month begins. I was like, really?
Sean, birthdays for Sean are like a good thriller. You know, at the beginning of the movie, you get the prophecy, something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, when August ends and the candles are lit,
that's totally
that is when hell month comes. And then slowly as the story progresses, oh my God, August has ended. Hell month is coming. Oh God, are those candles? And then you never see Sean on a Sunday night ever again, because you presume he has died.
But before he disappears, he left me a cryptic voice message.
Oh, really?
And it said, and I'm going to replicate it as best I can. This weekend, we will have a party for one of my kids where we will rotate the guests out hour by hour.
What?
Scrubbing the table in between each appointment, so that they can play with a different kid every hour.
What? Mm-hmm. COVID party?
And then he went, oh, I have to go get Little Caesars. Click.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then the jigsaw puppet came out on a little tricycle.
Yeah.
And it had your invitation to the party.
Yeah. This is your appointment.
Do I didn't get an appointment.
Yeah. So
These parties for Sean are like an episode of the Saw films. They're just new ways to torture this man.
I wish you just would have left it as, these are like an episode of Saw. I don't know why that wording would have killed me, but you didn't say it.
I'm sorry.
I can't give it to you.
They're like an episode of Saw.
Okay, that's pretty funny. I mean, that movie, it is a TV series at this point.
Yeah.
Right?
Come alive.
They should make it a TV series. I would, every week, just these idiots being ripped apart by these traps.
Yeah, did it?
And then every week you could say, I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So our heart goes out to Sean. He's working hard.
He really is.
Because he loves his family so much.
Yeah.
If a lot you're of into that kind of thing, then subscribe to him on OnlyFans. Show him your appreciation.
Oh, I signed him up for Cameo.
Did you?
Oh, you
did?
Yeah. I had to put his number in and everything, and I told him that they were going to call him, but I don't know what happened.
I guarantee he's not fulfilling any
of this. So that's on him. So,
wow, he's going to be busy.
You're going to get a cameo from a ghoul this month.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? It's 3 a.m. I just, I can't eat any more Little Caesars. Thank you. Click. He has told me, we've brought up, you know, I'm not really eating Little Caesars as much as I used to, I'll be honest, but every once in a blue moon, you know, a $5 crappy pizza sounds like, hey, you know what? Fuck it. Let's get it. And if Sean ever hears me or Kevin say those words,
yeah,
I think Sean hit his critical limit for a lifetime of Little Caesars. Because how many kids' birthday parties or events, or even like, honestly, sometimes when we filmed in the past, we would just get stacks of pizzas.
That's when I get it.
I think the only time I have it is here. And I think between all those, something broke inside him, and he's like, I cannot eat Hot and Ready's anymore. I cannot. Like, the last time we brought it up, it got dark.
Wow.
But it's okay. It's a reminder. You know, we don't need to be eating that.
He's
okay.
All about Costco pizza.
It's
going to
be a healthy option. Yeah.
You know, in the world of filmmaking, Little Caesars on the set is a big faux pas. It's not a no-no. But it says something about you as a filmmaker. It says a lot. It hurts your reputation.
Really?
Does it?
Yes.
I'm happy.
I don't care.
I know you don't care. I mean, and I'm letting you know, and I'm letting everybody out there know, this is valuable information. If you want to have a good reputation as a cool guy, as a cool filmmaker to work with, don't bring Little Caesars to your set.
Domino's okay?
Domino's is literally anything other than Little Caesars, okay, $5. I'm trying to think of like what's a good metaphor for that. But it's the type of thing where everybody just kind of knows or should know. When you show up on the set and you see the $5 Little Caesars pizza, you just kind of, your morale dips. You go, boo. Oh, this is like a set where they don't take care of
them. We've done that like 80 times.
I know.
We've done it 80 times,
and we've been doing it for a long time, but I think so many people have done it for so long, it's actually become a thing. Mm-hmm. It's actually become like a living meme. Johnny, sure. Have you ever experienced this?
No, I mean, when I did my thesis film, I would like just let people order whatever they wanted. Like, yeah. I'd give them my phone and be like, oh, we're getting Chinese, and just let, you know.
Yeah.
So since they're like giving me their time, I was like, get whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm hip. I'm on Facebook. I follow all the filmmaking groups.
Oh, you do? Oh.
And they're, hey, the kids, they're posting memes.
Okay.
About Little Caesar's Pizza. Like,
this makes like, total sense, though.
They're posting memes about Little Caesar's Pizza on the film set, so that means I ain't ordering that shit anymore.
I don't think that we've ever been trying to impress ourselves, so we've always been fine with the $5 hot and readies. But the last film set I was on, I will say, I was supremely morale boosted when Domino's showed up with like multiple flavors to try.
Yeah. Come to think of it, the last time I did have pizza on the set, it was Domino's.
So and maybe, I was kind of blown away.
But I'll say the very last thing that I did shoot, the sci-fi short that I did.
Yeah.
I mean, on that set, and I'm no disrespect to them, Julian, if you're watching this, you know, no disrespect.
What do you do?
But I mean, they got me a 6-inch Subway sandwich, the official sandwich that gave someone, you know, literal like pedo energy. It was proven in court.
Pedergy.
Yeah. Someone got
sandwiches.
Pedergy. Pedergy blast, like a spirit bomb.
Yeah.
Like a spirit bomb that makes you love kids. Yeah.
You don't want that.
Subway is getting some of that pedo essential oil. And
yeah.
They're drizzling in the sauce or something.
Exactly. He's on Facebook. There's a QAnon moms group that talks all about the essential oils.
Yeah.
I don't even know which version of the sandwich it was, Pedo Cut Trio. Or
yeah, I don't know if they're milking Jared's glands or where they're getting this stuff.
However they're doing it.
Smells like lavender. But
listen, I was
sick.
On a film set. They brought that to me. I was perfectly happy.
Where is this? Yeah, even, but no, you ate
I mean,
it?
Well, I'd, oh, shit. Well, I mean, obviously we're kidding around. It was a sandwich, okay? So, you know, I'm saying even in that situation, I made myself look bad.
I
was hungry. I ate it.
Let's just say you were doing like research to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's getting it's for.
Even in that situation, food was food. You know.
The Eagles guitarist. He was just doing research when he looked at his computer that way.
Yeah.
What'd you say about the guitarist from Eagles?
Yeah,
what?
I don't know.
He ate a Subway once.
Oh. I'll have to Google that later. Yeah. Anyways. Speaking of acting, I got contacted by my agent this weekend.
You did?
I have a couple of auditions. You may be noticing my hair is a little trimmer today than the last time you saw me. There's a reason for that. In my goal, my dream to become a corporate spokesperson like Flo from Geico, not Jared. Not him.
Go. There's a lot of heat on the AT&T gal right
now. Can you hear me now, guy? You know, I want to be like that.
Traitor.
I got
he was a traitor.
I'll still be here at Mega 64.
No, I'm talking about the Verizon.
Yeah, he's a traitor.
Right, yes. He is a dirty traitor. Benedict Arnold.
Yeah. Cellular Arnold.
I got an audition emailed to me, too, in fact. And the agent was like, they liked your headshots. They're reaching out to you specifically because they like your hip style.
Wow.
So make sure you look your best. So my hair was looking long and untamed, and I asked my girlfriend, I was like, can you watch this YouTube video?
Uh-oh.
Cut my hair for me? And she was like, I got you, bro. And then halfway through it, it was like, I don't know, these clippers aren't working very well. Hold on, let me get these scissors. This is like an awkward angle for my hand. This is really cramping my hand up. You look pretty good.
Oh, dear.
And she walked away from the haircut, and guys, I wish I had a photo. It was like the back of my head was buzzed, but then these parts were still bushy, and then this part was, and I was like looking in the mirror like, I have to go to an audition later like this. So, man, I'm sweating now, even just, I'm breaking
down. These are all the same things that were said to me when I got my haircut in the back of a Papa John's.
Yeah.
I did that on break during when I worked at Blockbuster. I got so sick of my long hair. I was like, I'm going crazy. And a girl we knew was like, I love to cut hair. I have an hour off. If you do too, I'll cut your hair right now. I was like, yes. And it was that the whole time. Oh, the scissors aren't working. Oh, but the thing isn't. Oh, but the angle is weird. I was like, these are not the things I wanted to hear.
You know what? It's on funny break. Too. Because afterwards, it was. I was upset. I was upset. I was standing in the mirror, like, trying not to cry and trying not to be too upset, you know, and then I really thought about it. I told her, I was like, you know what? I'm not mad because, you know, you're not a hairstylist and I asked you to do this. I basically forced you to cut my hair. So it is what it is. So I went to Supercuts today to get this trimmed up, and I actually had to deal with the... you know, seven levels of security actually get into the Supercuts. And I was on, like, edge the whole time, you know. I'd be masked up. They had to, like, schedule it in so only a certain amount of people could be in there at a certain time.
Yeah.
And I showed up for my scheduled appointment. And then even then, I was okay with this. But, damn, that hairdresser has to go through so much to sterilize everything. They were like this and then spraying all this down and wiping everything. It was like a half hour of just preparing the chair for me to get into it. and then they shot me in the forehead with the temperature gun.
Oh, goody. Oh,
okay. I confirmed I don't have a fever today.
That's good.
And I got all trimmed up. So now I'm looking trim.
Nice.
That's the story.
That's a Supercut surprise.
Yeah,
because
I was going to say it looks good. A professional got involved, I guess.
You know what? It actually didn't look that bad. It was just incomplete. And but it's hard to realize that in the moment. You're like, this is all messed up. But it's like, no, it would just needed to keep going. We were just halfway there.
Yeah.
So, that's that. I feel like I'm ready for boot camp. I feel like this is much shorter than I ever go. But
that's another thing I've heard. I've heard from Sean about 8 times this week too. Is that he keeps being told by his kid's school. Sorry, not to keep bringing up Sean's situation, but they keep telling him, "We're doing another Zoom boot camp. We're doing another Zoom boot camp. You need to be there for." And it's just to teach him to go through drills on how to teach, teach classes.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
stay at home stuff. This sucks.
Sean's doing all the work. What's the teacher get to do? Just play fucking Switch at home?
Yeah. What are they doing? How's that working? I wonder.
I don't know.
Why are we still paying for schools?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Schools should start paying us.
Exactly. I'm the teacher now.
Yeah. I don't get it. But, I don't know if he's doing everything or if they Zoom, like they call in every, I guess they do call in every day. I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
He sent me an image of like the schedule for his kids and it like I couldn't
fathom. It's a big
really
I couldn't like he was like it was already so busy and he was like it's missing one kid's schedule.
Oh
like,
no,
it was already like a full like yeesh. Giant page. I didn't know what to say. I was like, I guess some of the lunches line up, that makes it a little easier. And he was like, yeah, I guess you're right.
Oof. Well, you know what would help Sean, I'll be honest, is if he could control the flow of time.
Oh shit.
But unfortunately he couldn't figure it out. But they did in the new movie Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Oh, that's what that's about?
Yeah.
Shit.
It's I'll give you the plot. Bill and Ted have to have so many boot camps that they don't end up writing the song that saves the world, so they have to figure out how to Bill, wait, which one's Ted? Bill, how do we fuck with time?
Which one's Ted?
I don't know either.
He just said Bill.
Whatever.
I just watched it, but I don't know either which one's Bill and which one's Ted.
I confuse them all the time.
Is the blonde one. Keanu is Ted.
Ted's Keanu.
Is Ted, yeah. Okay. Because I clearly know who Theodore Beavis and Butthead are.
See, so I was doing the right impression.
but I don't get Bill.
Did you see that, Derek, the new Bill and Ted, or not?
No, and I'm in no rush to see it, but I probably will because I love the original Bill and Ted movies.
Yeah, I think we wanted to talk about, I think we all went to the drive-in within the last week, which is weird for me. I had not been to a drive-in since I was a kid. The last one was, for me, was seeing The Lost World with, I think the double feature was with Dante's Peak. I think that was the last time I went.
Nice.
And the drive-in that I went to, it was the same one. Looked like it had not changed one iota since I had been there for that. I mean, I'm driving in, and the signage is unaltered. Like, this is the same signs and everything. And then I pulled in, and I'm like, as soon as I got there, I'm like, all right, the movie, whatever. Movie theater popcorn. Yeah. I went into the snack bar. It looked like it had not been altered since 1979. I mean, it was like the same, like, letters you move around on the board and all that stuff. All the wood paneling and everything. It was like, this is weird. But I had a great experience, but it was just bizarre. I'll bring up a couple things about Bill and Ted, and I know we want to talk about Tenet, but how was your guys' experience going to the drive-through?
Drive-in.
I say that all the time. I get messed up all the time.
It was the same. I went to the same one you're talking about. Okay. It was the one that the last time I went was, I don't know. I always have bad experiences at the drive-in.
Really?
I'm going to give it another shot for Tenet because I want to go see that.
Sure.
I mean, I've only gone a couple times. The drive-in? But I go to the drive-in a lot.
Yeah?
And I have mixed experiences. And I feel like more than a regular theater, you could determine the quality of your experience by the steps you take at the drive-in.
Sure. Yeah.
Get as close to the fucking screen as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get right up close and center. Get there very early.
Yes.
Bring, like,
we did that too.
Pillows and blankets. Make your car really comfortable.
Snacks.
Bring snacks. I saw Tenet. We got Chinese food. We posted our pillows and blankets, and it was nice. But yeah, my experience, there were a lot of dumbasses turning their headlights on and, like, readjusting their position. Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah. So, there was one guy at ours who was, their car alarm would not stop going off, and they couldn't figure it out, so they actually bailed on the movie about, like, a quarter in.
Okay.
During Bill, so I went 2 days in a row. I went for Bill and Ted, and I went for Tenet. They both were double features with movies I didn't want to see.
That's how they always do it.
Yeah, it was Spider-Man from a year ago, which is a good movie. I just didn't need to see it again.
Yeah.
And then New Mutants the second night.
See, that's what I saw.
I heard it was shitty, and I wanted to watch it, but then after Tenet, we were all like, can we just go somewhere and talk about Tenet? Okay, and we left. But Bill and Ted, I had no problems. No one really, it wasn't as crowded, I will say. And then Tenet, it was like people figuring their car alarms, like, how does this work kind of shit. And there was one guy who turned his lights on halfway through who I don't think he realized they were on. He was just, I mean, he was right next to us, Johnny. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah,
he like that. Accidentally flipped them on and was just like staring at the screen. And everyone's like, bro. Like, anyway.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was fine.
I was going to kind of get into that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And the last two times I had been, and the last time was so long ago, I think it was the sequel to the Tomb Raider, Angelina Jolie.
Tomb Raider 2.
Circle of the Sun.
The Cradle of Life?
Cradle of Life, yeah.
Yeah, the best one.
It was that long ago. That was in theaters. Wow. I went and saw. I didn't drive, so it's kind of out of my control, the car situation.
Sure.
The people didn't want to run their engine, didn't want to waste gas.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like this super quiet movie experience where you can't hear any dialogue. That was the last time. That's what I remember.
Oh, okay.
Same thing happened with New Mutants. Because my girlfriend doesn't know how to operate her brand new car. She's got like a newish Nissan Rogue.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure out how to turn the fucking running lights off.
Oh.
Figure out how to have like the dome lights off with the car still running.
Oh no.
So we could have the stereo. So again, I sat in the darkness listening to just the ambient noise of other people's vehicles.
Oh no.
So I couldn't hear anything again. It was the same repeat. And I told myself, like, I'm driving. Next time, I know how to turn my headlights off. Uh-huh. I know how to leave the engine running so my battery doesn't die.
Yeah.
Like, there's just always been problems when I go with someone else to the drive-in.
Yeah.
I need to drive myself and alleviate these stresses.
Well, I can match that story, Johnny.
Can you tell the coffee story real quick? That shit was dying.
Let me get that out of the way. Yeah, before I get back to car stuff, because I have a thing to match that.
Yeah.
When I went to the snack bar, when we went to see Tenet, I was like, I want to be alert for this thing. I want to, I'm not, I want to be, I'm, you know, I'm a Nolan fangirl, dude. I want to like see that, you know. So give me, you know. So I walked up and I was like, I'll have a popcorn. And they were like, yeah. And I said, and give me a coffee. I mean, I don't know if that's a good combo, but I wanted a coffee.
I've done that at the theater, yeah.
So I said, give me a coffee. I have never gotten a response to that request like I got when I said that.
I know what's coming.
Yeah.
I said, and I'll, and one coffee. Popcorn. Yeah, I said popcorn. And a coffee. Hot dog? No, coffee.
I was standing right there.
Nachos?
Ooh.
Nope, I'm just doing a coffee. Coke. It's fine. Coke is fine. Okay, yeah. Gets me a Coke, pours in the thing. I mean, everyone in that room was looking at each other like,
yeah,
what just happened?
Her eyes looked like you like had said something fucked up.
But she took your order,
yeah.
My order, everything she heard fine. It wasn't like, ooh, sound barrier, ooh, because there was plexiglass in front of us. They handled it very safe.
Okay.
There was no issue hearing any of it. Anytime I said the word coffee, I even got to the register. Is there any chance I can get coffee?
No one orders coffee there.
Yeah, Coke is fine. Coke is fine. I was telling Johnny, I was like, there was some nanomachine shit in there where it was like, if you say the Patriots, it comes out lale lule lo. Like something happened in that room where the word coffee could not come out.
When she said hot dog back at you, I was messed up, but I had to like hold a laugh.
I mean, it was like, for me, it was when she yelled nachos. Nachos?
Nachos?
Coke is fine. Anyway, coffee. So... the first night when we saw Bill and Ted, I was surprised because, again, I haven't been there in a long time. It looked good, even though a lot of things hadn't been touched. The projection was better than the last time I'd been there. That was upgraded. And but I went in thinking, oh, it's not going to probably sound very good because, you know, car radio, how's that go good? You know, I have memories of it not sounding very good.
It's an FM signal.
But with today, yeah. I don't know if that's like, you know, my car's newer or what's been upgraded, but Bill and Ted sounded great, right?
Oh, yeah. It sounded like... like a theater.
Yeah.
Like it was great. There was like surround sound and everything.
There was no static on the channel, the little bit I got to hear of New Mutants. There was no static. It was loud when we had the car on.
So my car sounded great. Yeah. It sounded awesome. So then we came back for 10, and I didn't run my car the whole thing, or run the motor. I just ran it off the battery, and it sounded fine. Came back for 10 the next day, and I'm just like, that did sound good. And then 10 starts, and of course, Christopher Nolan's movies are loud as fuck. I'm like, Johnny, I'm turning this bitch up.
Yeah,
my car battery died like halfway through that movie. I didn't even think about it. I was so into it, and then it died. So we did have a bit of a third act scramble. We ran into Kevin and Rachel had a car, and we just darted in there. Hi, guys. We're going to watch it in here.
Yeah. Also, on the third act, my stomach was like, if you don't go to the bathroom right now, you're going to shit yourself.
Oh, no.
So, I missed like the last like... or I missed the beginning of the third act of that.
Oh, okay. That bathroom is
bad. See, I don't know how in that transition to the other car, I never saw you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I was gone.
I guess I was sitting in the car.
Sucked into Tenet.
Yeah, I was really like into the movie. I never knew
he manipulated
Johnny
time.
Was gone.
I came back and like I had no clue what the fuck was happening. It was amazing.
If you had stayed, it wouldn't have been much better. But anyway,
I want to go again and see Tenet now that when I went, it wasn't playing. It was just like New Mutants and Deadpool again. Yeah. So we left after. And even what I got from New Mutants, it was like, that was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I couldn't hear it, so I didn't do it justice. Didn't like the second Tomb Raider.
I don't think audio would have helped it.
So much of that movie was these fucking depressed kids whispering to each other, and I couldn't hear a goddamn thing.
That's the perfect review.
Yeah.
The one time Garrett has a bad review of a comic book movie.
But I can't wait to go. I want to go take, you know, like Derek said, the tips, the blankets, the pillows, run the engine.
Yeah. If you've got a pickup truck, I saw this dude come with an inflatable mattress in the back of his truck.
Holy
he
shit.
Backed it in.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was just posted up, you know.
See, but I want my system because I got the subwoofers and I got the Dayton's, baby.
Open your windows and blast it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I want to be in the cab.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, it's the movie audio.
True.
It's not like you're interrupting anything. But that's anyway, true. That was my experience specifically with the drive-in. I don't have much to say about Bill and Ted. It was cute.
Yeah, I liked it.
I was surprised.
It was a direct-to-video Bill and Ted, but
yeah.
Like that the timing on that was very good. Like, it was such a like uplifting, positive movie that didn't try for anything more than what it, you know what I mean? Like, it was totally, it didn't want to be more than just a Bill and Ted movie, and it was adorable, and I really enjoyed it. But that's really all I have to say about it. But I think we all saw Tenet except Garrett.
Shit.
Yeah. Brian, oh yeah, and Brian. There. Sorry, Brian. But did you want? What did you want to say about it?
Well, I bet a lot of our viewers haven't seen it, so you don't necessarily want to like spoil stuff.
Are we going to spoil it? No, I guess we can't, huh?
I mean, how? Are theaters shut down across the rest of the country? Yeah, still?
Yeah, this was what a half-ass release for all movies right now. You know,
I mean, I saw it. Anybody can go see it. Figure out a way to do it.
Yeah. You guys,
but I don't think everyone has drive-ins.
Well, I wouldn't recommend going to a theater. Go see it at a drive-in.
I'll
like
bail
we
if you guys want to have a spoiler discussion. Okay. But it's I'm going to go see it maybe this week.
Well, I really liked it personally. I saw it twice. I get really I get really excited at certain there. Let me just give my field of interest here. I'm not going to say this was Christopher Nolan's best movie by any means, but I get a real thrill out of, I don't know how to word this, because I think it's going to be more insulting to it than I intend. I get a real thrill out of when crazy slash stupid shit is taken really seriously or is in a serious space. Mm-hmm. I'm going to compare this to, I remember watching the new Twin Peaks a couple years ago, and there is literally an episode where they show you the birth of evil. And when they show it, it literally looks like a bunch of dirt-covered lumberjacks coming out of this convenience store, and it looks like they're being scrubbed through an Adobe Premiere timeline. And I'm just sitting there like, this is airing on TV. This is something that made it through all the filters and all of the, you know what I mean? Like every step that a show has to go through, this made it through all of it. It probably didn't, it doesn't look like it went through any notes. And it went to the largest possible audience. And that is so exciting to me. And that aspect of my interests, I guess, is why I enjoyed Tenet so much. I don't know if all of it worked as a fully fleshed out movie, but like, and again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but you know, I mean, by this point, if you know anything about the movie, you know that there's like shit going in reverse and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When they're fighting a dude and this dude suddenly goes and gets sucked through a door, I'm just in fucking love. I'm like, yes, thank you. This is, it's just goofy shit being taken extremely seriously at the biggest possible budget that you can throw at something, and I just ate it up. So I enjoyed that aspect of it, but I don't know what you guys thought about it.
I can give my review real quick. I have the same review with like every Nolan film, really. I think I love like what he does, and like he does it really well, and like this movie has like great action set pieces. He just always, his movies like to me always fall apart in the third act. In the third act, I'm always like, all right, let's wrap this up. So yeah. I think I enjoyed the movie a lot because I took a shit in the third act and I missed like 20 minutes of it. And then like by the end, I was like, I came back, some stupid shit was happening. I'm like, oh, okay. And then it ended and I was like, okay, I like that.
The old Nolan dude.
I think the fact that you could miss 20 minutes of the conclusion of this movie and it doesn't affect your enjoyment of the movie says a lot about the type of movie this is. When that much of the conclusion doesn't matter.
Holy crap.
I think everybody will enjoy this movie when it starts. Not everybody will be enjoying it by the time it ends.
Yeah, totally.
I think that Christopher Nolan is a great filmmaker, but for me, I was with it the whole time. This movie never confused me except when Christopher Nolan wanted me to be confused. And I felt like that was the problem. That he was, this is a science fiction movie and there's so much pseudoscience and mumbo jumbo that is frankly made up. He just makes it up.
Yeah.
But he never even takes the time to explain what he made up to you. So I feel like pretty much unanimously everybody agrees, like, yeah, by the second half or third quarter of that movie, it's hard to know what the fuck is going on. It's hard to know what the fuck is going on. And you saw it again, Rocco, I'm sure, just to get another run through of it, just to be like, hey, I need to process that again.
Yeah.
But I felt like I pretty much caught everything. But I was definitely like, what the fuck is going on the whole time? Because that's how he constructed it to be. So that's my review of it, for better or worse.
I thought that, because I've heard a lot of criticism of it, and I don't necessarily even disagree with it, and I don't even disagree with anything that you said, Derek. I hope I've made it clear the aspect of it that I like. Like,
oh yeah.
For me, it's you know, this guy's gonna like have people fighting in reverse footage.
You know what? Actually, can I add to what I said?
Yeah, yeah.
You said that you liked that it's such a stupid premise, but they take it so seriously.
Yes.
That actually ruined it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I walked away from this movie feeling like, this was such a heartless, cold movie for such a stupid premise. This was like an action movie, but it was a very like slow paced and serious, overly important action movie. And it acted like, oh, this is so smart. This is fucking bending your mind. And I'm like, it's not bending my mind.
No. Like you're just like,
you're just trying to say it's bending my mind.
I said this when I saw it, Derek, and I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but good or bad, however you want to take this comment, it felt the closest to a Hideo Kojima movie to me.
Oh, okay.
Where it's, you know, using all this jargon and telling you how important it is, and it reaches a point you might start laughing at it, or you're with it and it's cool.
Yeah.
I did a little of both, and I'm giving it my approval with that. You know, I love that kind of stuff, but I totally understand that, like,
I will,
you know, if
say,
I showed that to, there's a lot of people I could show that to and they'd be like,
Garrett, I think you will like this movie.
I think so too.
I think you will like it. I think that the action is really cool.
Yeah.
I think the story falls apart on closer inspection if you really hold a magnifying glass up to it. But I think this movie is constructed in a way where you can enjoy this movie without holding a magnifying glass up to the story. Do you know what I mean, Rocco?
Yes.
Oh, I totally. I think that you can watch this movie and go, yo, that shit blew my mind. I don't even know what the fuck I saw.
Oh,
I don't know if I'll ever know what the fuck I saw, but that was cool.
Yeah.
I think you can enjoy this movie on that level.
I can do that with, because I can do that real easy with like Elysium or.
But for me.
What was his last movie with the spinning top thing and Leo?
Inception. I mean,
this reminded me of Inception
a lot.
Yeah. And I remember that one towards the third act of Dreams Within Dreams, and we've got this technology we never explain where it puts.
Hey, Garrett, you're going to have that feeling again.
Yes.
I was like, they don't explain any of this, but I'm just going to go, all right,
so
let's see what happens.
It's that all over.
Okay,
it's
the last act of
100%.
That, the last act of that and this, you're going to be blown away how much you'll feel is the same situation.
It's like the same.
You know, they go skiing with Uzis again?
I was following along with the story. I went into this. People were telling me, like, yo, this is convoluted. This is confusing. Mm-hmm. This is really confusing to follow. So I was meticulously trying to stick with it.
That's good.
And even, you know, it came to a point where it's like, okay, I don't know what's happening here, but I'm sure this will be explained later.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yes. But then when the movie's over, that's where I say you hold a magnifying glass up to it. And you go like, okay, so there was that part I didn't understand, but they explained it later. And then you go like, but does that really work?
Mm-hmm.
Does that actually make sense?
Yeah.
And that's when I think people start saying, that's when all the criticism comes out for this movie.
Yeah. And let me say, actually, to your point, Derek,
yeah,
when you said, like, I think a lot of people are done by the last act or whatever it was you said earlier on, I can empirically prove that when we were at the drive-in for it, literally when they hit, I don't even want to say what the last scene, it's not the last scene, but
last act.
The last act, the last reel, whatever
last
you want to say.
Last chapter of the story.
When it hit that, around that part, and they start kind of briefing what's going on during that part.
Yeah.
I think 30 to 40 cars drove away.
Yeah.
Whoa. I mean, we were seriously seeing headlights. I mean, it was like, here we are.
There were people driving away in my movie theater too. And honestly, I was in the car just doing a check like, hey, anybody know what the fuck is going on in the movie in this part? Nope. All right. Me neither. They're going to go do this shit now. Cool.
Yeah. But I will say, I'm gonna say again on for me on the positive side.
Yeah.
Is I like his filmmaking, and it's for me, I enjoy it enough that gladly we'll see it another time. And so I did. And anything anything that was remotely unclear the first time, or even thematically, just why was that there, was totally clear the second time. And in fact, a lot of it was more poignant the second time around and affected me in ways that didn't the first time. And I honestly thought, again, without going into it, into spoiler stuff, that ties into the way this movie exists. There's running themes about, you know, repeating things and going back with knowledge from the future and things like that. And I'm like, well, seeing it a second time really wasn't out of the question for this. And maybe it was designed that way, you know. Anyway, but for me, at the end of the day, what my interest is above all else, you know, I'm not going to say it had much. I don't know how much it had going on character-wise or emotion-wise.
Very little.
Honestly, and people were telling me, like, oh, I liked Interstellar better because there was more emotional stuff to it. I totally hear that. Absolutely hear that. This didn't really have that. But I just am so in love with that kind of concept, again, where they're doing... I wish I could give more specific examples, but, you know, oh, you're going to do that? Well, actually, the opposite is going to happen. Just the concept was so insane to me, and they were taking it so seriously. I was laughing and just fucking loving it
the whole time.
There's
a couple, again, I feel like this movie's enjoyable, but, like, when you reflect on it, for me at least, there was not, like, I missed any themes or that there were parts that were still confusing.
Yeah.
The last act, you know, I didn't know what was going on. So I did read, like, all right, give me a plot synopsis of this. And I'm going through it, and it's like, yeah, I got all that. And then it comes to the last act, and it's like, okay, yeah, I mean, I got all that too. So I guess I didn't miss anything. But for me, it was more like there were just holes in the plot and holes in the premise that it reminds me specifically of there was an episode of Power Rangers, Rocco.
He's the one doing this.
You're gonna know what I'm talking about. You're gonna know what I'm talking about. Where Goldar was like going through all this fucking ramifications to punish, I think, Tommy or something, and your brother was like, I don't know, he's Goldar. Why does he just fucking rip his soul out or something?
It was that they captured Trini's grandfather, set up a whole dynamite pillar, tied him to it. It was this complicated thing to blow him up.
Yeah.
And my brother, why doesn't he just rip his soul out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking Tenet is the whole dynamite pillar tied to this, tied to that, all fucking spun around this fucking little plot point, this whatever you want to call the core of this movie, and with just a couple arguments, it all collapses like a house. Why didn't they just do this? Why? And the answer would be like, well, you wouldn't really have a movie then. It's like, I know. And that's why this premise is so flimsy to begin with.
I could totally...
And this is a spoiler-free review, so maybe in a few weeks we can go into what these details are. I actually brought my list of grievances with the film.
Oh, shit.
But we won't go into it.
But this is one of those things, though, honestly. I think I remember... Well, I don't remember what movie it was. There was one... Maybe it was Glass or something. I don't remember, some movie a long time ago where I came out of it like with a pause, like thumbs up, go see it. Derek didn't, but I didn't necessarily disagree with literally any of the thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't necessarily disagree with that stuff, but I think that my enjoyment out of all those things that I mentioned, you know, and on top of that, like, you know, when you're watching this movie and a giant 747 rolls in and it's going through, you know, when you see that thing, this is practical. Oh my God, he's not CGing this.
I think you're spoiling too much in this spoiler-free review.
What's that?
I think you're spoiling too much in this spoiler-free review.
That's in every preview.
Now I'm going to be looking for a 747,
I didn't even
Brian.
See that in the preview.
Oh, it's in all the trailers.
I just want to say real quick, I got Facebook messaged all those plot points and I think, oh shit. and I think I enjoyed that more than the movie. Like, they're just sending me all these, like, well, why did this happen? What the fuck did this?
After I saw this movie, Johnny was the only other person I know who'd seen it, and I fucking went off. Like, this movie is not as fucking smart as it thinks it is. What about this? Dude. What about this shit? What about this fucking shit? They go through all this for fucking what reason?
You got that loud.
Yeah,
I really was screaming.
I'm like zen today compared to how I was on Friday. Yeah. No, but I'm not even recommending people don't see this movie. I actually think if you hear my review, you'll enjoy the movie more because I'm prepping you for the mental experience. Mm-hmm. I was primed to not like this movie. I heard from a lot of trusted sources this movie was bad and convoluted and just bad, bad, bad. And then I heard from Rocco, yo, it's pure Kojima. It's good. So I kind of went in there like, okay, how am I going to traverse this movie? You know, and I tried my best. It was hard. It was confusing. Go watch it. You try your best, but no, it's going to be a fucking challenge to stick with this plot. Yeah. But it's a fun movie.
But yeah, I am, as much as I am, you know, and I don't necessarily disagree with a lot of that, but I am going to give it my recommendation because, like I said, again, just from my end, I still can't name another movie like this, and the premise is so out there, and it's like, this guy is unchecked and had the biggest budget a studio could give him and all this stuff. I still feel like you're not seeing that much. So for me, it's a treat to see such unabashed craziness happen on the widest possible level. So I enjoy that. Even when it falls apart, I get a thrill out of watching that.
And after everybody out there has seen it, after Garrett and Brian have seen it, we'll have a big discussion of everything that was really stupid about
it. I'm gonna put the pedal to the metal. I'm gonna get up there probably this week. So by next podcast, I'll have seen it.
Well, now we got to. Sean's not gonna have time. I'll tell you that right now. But then again,
he's not gonna be here.
He won't be on the show, so we can.
It's another birthday week. Yeah. It's a shame, though, that everyone can only see it in, like, two-channel stereo. You know, like, no one's getting this in Dolby surround.
The audio is... I heard the audio mixing was bad. It was bad.
Oh, really?
I wish I had subtitles at the drive-in.
It was great in Rocco's car.
I was going to say, I keep hearing... in IMAX, the music gets so loud, you can't hear any of the characters in this scene, and this scene. When they have masks in this part, you cannot hear them.
Masks. It was so muffled.
In my car, the audio of the dialogue punched through the rest. In fact, it might have been mixed completely incorrectly in my car, but it worked in my advantage.
Really?
I could hear everyone, but I guess in other... In some places, it's been like a nightmare.
Just to know he intended this thing for fucking Atmos and...
And
full, you know, 7.1
systems. But that's how... I think Christopher Nolan is like that. I think he wants sensory overload with stuff, but it's so funny because every time he has a movie coming out, I hear that every time. Dark Knight Rises, I remember the
Bane
first...
stuff.
They did early screenings, and people were like, I didn't know what Bane said the whole movie. So they actually... They quickly redubbed him... For the one that we saw, once it hit mass market.
Right.
But it's happened every movie. He said, Dunkirk, you can't hear this pilot. So
David Fincher is like that too, but I think he got over it real quick. Because with The Social Network, he wanted to they're at a club, like you shouldn't be able to hear them. And everyone's like, well, I can't hear them.
Yeah.
And then after that movie, it's been back to normal.
But I think Christopher Nolan has said that kind of stuff too. Like, hey, it's all coming at you. Like, it's fine if you don't hear it. And people at home are like, I don't know what's happening though.
I don't know that it's fine that I don't hear it. I'm at your movie thinking this dialogue matters.
I want to hear
my mistake. I came here giving a shit what the script said.
But anyway. So I think ultimately we are saying check it out, see what you think.
Go watch it. Take it with a grain of salt. Excited. Know what you're getting into. But Christopher Nolan does cool action.
I still think I do see what people are, like I said, with the character stuff, the emotional whatever being a little lacking. Think I like it more than Interstellar because Interstellar did have that stuff, I remember when Interstellar started, it was kind of like in the first 5 minutes, I was like, I kind of feel like I already know the arc of this whole movie. And it pretty much stuck to that. It was a very intriguing movie. It was a good movie. I love a fucked up concept. Like, fuck my day up. Even if it doesn't all work, this was so boldly different that I think I liked it more. But it's still, I wouldn't say his best.
People poke holes in that pseudoscience a lot too, right? That's Interstellar stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see that, Derek? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I saw it once. I feel like all of his movies merit one viewing, except for Batman and the Prestige and Memento, which merit multiple viewings.
Oh, God, Memento's
I love
him?
Prestige.
God, so
I think that's his best movie.
I do
that's
too.
My favorite, too.
That movie has
great characters.
Yep.
Yeah.
The characters in Prestige are so complex.
Yep.
They're motivated by so many different things. Love, career, competition, revenge. Those are four main motivating factors in the characters, all of the main characters of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The characters in this movie have maybe one motivation each.
Yeah, I
some
agree.
Of them you even question, like, why is this character even doing this? I don't know.
Yeah.
What's motivating them? I don't know. That's my critique of the characters in this movie. He can do great characters, but they weren't really there in this film.
Yeah, I agree. I got more of a creative excitement from a filmmaking standpoint than I did from a, like, oh my God, I feel so passionately about the story kind of thing.
Yeah, like, what are these guys going to do next? Holy shit, there's so much at risk.
Whereas the Prestige, I was really like, the characters pulled my fucking heart out. It might not appeal to everyone to the level that it did for us, but as someone who did theater and all that stuff, to have a story that's not only kind of sci-fi and kind of this and that, but
I think Prestige,
to have an emotional tie to
the characters
performing.
Are so strong in that movie. Yeah. When they succeed, you get chills because you go, damn, you fucking worked so hard, you succeeded. And when they fail and lose in that movie, your heart breaks because you go, oh my God, you sacrificed so much and you still lost. That's a great film.
That movie's like still pretty like a big budget movie, but I would love to see him go back to like a smaller movie, because in comparison to like Tenet, The Prestige is a small movie in comparison, and I would love to see him go back to like, character-driven shit.
So Tenet plays with time, obviously. Dunkirk plays with time. Memento plays with time. No more playing with time.
Inception did too. Oh, no. Dreams. Interstellar absolutely did.
Yeah, Interstellar plays with time. Inception kind of.
Inception. Hey, Inception. When they go deeper and deeper into the dream.
If we don't get
out of here, you're here for 1,000 years. Like, they definitely.
Yeah.
No more time in your movies. Okay.
New formula.
You've done it.
Yeah.
You've done it all.
Now you gotta be all about like what's a different subject than time?
No more masks.
Sea life.
No more masks. No more time. No more Michael Caine.
Direct a porno.
No more Michael Caine. Change it up.
He's going to rub it in everyone's face. Just like Tarantino with feet.
Dude.
Everyone criticized him for that, so he would double down on it for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan's going to do it. The next movie is going to be time-traveling Michael Caine in a mask. What year is it?
It's going to be called Slow Motion Halloween. It's Michael Caine in a rubber mask.
What
trick or treat?
He's gonna say treat or trick. I said it backwards. What year is it?
Oh no!
That's gonna be the tagline of the movie. Anyway,
sometimes you think you're dreaming.
Yeah, I'd love to see him do like a romantic comedy next,
or a porno.
That's what I said.
Porno, dude.
That's what I voted for. Hey, I want X-rated Michael Caine.
I'm not going to tell you what's in Tenet. Right, you know, I'm not going to spoil anything, I will tell you what's not in it, and I missed opportunity. There's no reverse. We talked about this.
Yeah.
No one takes a reverse shit.
No, I did.
Someone, Johnny did, but they should have done that in the movie. Like, someone walks in a room. Why is there turds?
I can't say this anymore. Stop spoiling the fucking movie.
This is a spoiler-free review.
Is your final warning.
Yo, I'm going to spend the whole time
everywhere
watching it, looking for...
That's it.
I apologize, everybody. Rocco just can't help spoiling this movie. He likes it so much. Mm. Now, you know, every time you see a toilet, you don't have to close your eyes.
Anyway.
Yikes.
Wouldn't it be nice?
No.
Johnny, do you doing a reverse... dump for Tuesday. No, for real. Film yourself taking a dump for real.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Have you?
I didn't realize it was almost... Brian said yes, I'm just going to move on. I didn't realize it was already almost 7.
Let's plug our shit.
I need to get this plug in here. It's important.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking that kind of plug, you know. I'm talking the real deal. Everybody, shop.mega64.com is your one-stop shop for the best stuff in entertainment, in clothing, in style.
Mm-hmm.
And we know style, let me tell you. That's right. Shop.mega64.com has got it all. We did a pre-order for the face masks this week. We had the Transport short sleeve tee. Those are up right now. I think probably by the time you're watching this on YouTube, That's down. So you, if you didn't do it, you blew it.
You blew it.
But we got all kinds of stuff, so I'm sure there's something that'll fit your liking. Something we like to do every podcast is the 64-hour special. That's a shirt that's only around for 64 hours.
Limited.
And Derek, do you want to kind of set this one up that we have tonight?
I think anybody out there who likes rock and roll or knows anything about music will appreciate this shirt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The Rockin' Reaper shirt.
I love it.
Yeah.
Check that out. Sort of the music fans there.
Yeah, order that for your dad.
I can hear that image. It sounds like.
Yeah, you wear that to the Jimmy Buffett concert. Wear that to Sturgis, baby.
Yeah, Sturgis. Yeah.
Motorcycles. If Pink Floyd were still alive, he'd like Mega 64. Yeah. Did you guys see that Sturgis video? Nope. Okay. Moving on.
I saw a lot of media from Sturgis, and all of it was that people got sick. But
I'm talking about the happy stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the good stuff. But anyway, check that out. Shop.mega64.com.
Oh yeah, get that shirt. I like shirts that make no sense. You wear that shirt, it's gonna make some old man angry. He's gonna stop you on the street and be like, what? Why are you wearing Pink Floyd? Wasn't a guy, and your shirt. What the hell is Mega 64? That's what you're gonna get when you wear this shirt.
Yeah, I have that the shirt I was wearing that says Candyman, like the horror movie, but it has John Candy on it, and I've gotten like weird, like kind of mad responses to that too. He wasn't in that. Like, are you kidding? But so hopefully this will inspire similar things in a bootleg fashion with you. Anyway, and as always, patreon.com/mega64. We have a bunch of new stuff on there. As always, we debuted the next gift package this weekend, which is the for the first time ever, the Madden raps that we've done, Mega 64 Madden raps on vinyl.
That's awesome.
On a Field Green vinyl record with a USB that has all the audio files, video stuff, bonus material that's never been seen from the Madden rap videos, all kinds of stuff. It's definitely worth checking out. So go there. Check out how you can get it. You know, join tier 3 for 3 months and you get it for yourself. All kinds of video stuff on there too, so check it out. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. This is an exciting week, and let me tell you why. Tuesday we got an Apple event.
Keynote?
They're gonna tear it up. No one knows what they're gonna talk about. Supposedly the phones are delayed. So what's this event then? If not phones, what's Apple going to pull out during that?
Headphones.
I'm afraid to ask. So that's Tuesday.
Chargers.
Sony is having their event Wednesday. I think we are finally going to hear. It sounds like
what
we're finally going to hear about the PlayStation 5 release date.
A price?
Price.
Give us a price, Sony.
Because Microsoft. They put out all their info.
They dropped it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Sony's in the better position now.
And let us remind everybody, we have an open wager here on who is going to name the Sony prices correctly. Yeah.
It's me. Now, I did it.
Now, let me say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I keep seeing leaks. You know, who knows what's real? Oh, this site said this. This other site said that. Man, a lot of them are matching what Johnny said.
Now, the wager, repeat what the wager was, that whoever's the closest will be given a PS5.
Yeah, whoever wins is going to be, but sometimes they wiggle to mine. I believe I said $549.
Yeah.
And the reason why I went with this, I thought maybe that the top, the one with the disc slot and everything was going to be like a hair too expensive, and that's why they needed to have a cheaper model. So that's why I thought $549, and then what did I say for the other one, $449?
I don't have the data.
I don't know. You could put it on.
I believe I said $399 and $450.
Okay.
I'm at the high side. I'm up there at $700 bucks.
I said $499 and $650. But you know what?
Huh.
I think I went too high. I want to change mine.
No, you're locked in. We're locked in. We made a bet. A gentleman's agreement.
Rocco, you said $549 and $499.
$499, $499. Yep. Okay, so a $50 difference. Okay.
And how do we determine who's the closest? Because we gave two statistics here.
Closest without going over on both. I don't know.
But what is, like, is it the different, whoever's got the smallest difference between the prices?
Yeah, it's not closest without going over. It's closest.
It's closest within dollar amounts, and you add them both up from your high and your low, which your disc or discless, and then that's your number.
Do you, Garrett, are you still sticking with 625?
I think that
700 and 625.
I think it was 699 and 625. Yes,
700 and 625.
700 and 625. Yeah, I'm sticking to it.
Mine was 500 and 650.
Which I just don't think. They're not going to go over 600.
They're not going to go higher than what Xbox is. So I'm already.
Yeah.
Out.
Now the Xbox went so low.
Have you guys seen the prices on those on the Xbox? So the main new Xbox, which I know everyone's talked about this, so I'm beating a dead horse, but the naming schemes.
Terrible.
Xbox Series X, the main one, is $499, and then, Series S.
Yeah, the sucky one.
Is $299.
That's how you remember.
But where I'm getting so confused is they're both the new Xbox. They're both, like, the next-gen Xbox, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But then Series S, it won't hit the resolution and all that the Xbox Series X will.
Yeah, the S stands for suck.
So you get it for a kid who doesn't know any better.
But then...
That's grandma then, gives that to you for Christmas.
But then there was Xbox One X.
Uh-oh.
Which was the most powerful version of the last-gen Xbox. The Xbox Series S is backwards compatible with all those games, but won't be able to run the upgrades that the Xbox One X got.
I'm confused.
You lost me.
Xbox 360 games. Xbox on the current existing Xbox One X, the most powerful Xbox that's out right now, you can pop Xbox 360 games in, and they get, some of them even get an upgrade where they look better. That will not happen on the Xbox Series S.
But it will on Series X.
I believe so.
I could, like, build a PC and not have to worry about any of this, right?
But the Series S, though, it's like, is it not above the current? I don't know. I just feel like, well, then why don't you wait and just wait for the price to drop on the current Xbox One X so that you get all those upgrades? Didn't they say the Xbox One X, the current one, will play next-gen's games just at a lower level? Why don't you just hunt one of those down? I don't know.
I feel bad for my mom. My sister called me the other day and was like, I want an Xbox One because she got into Roblox.
Oh, yeah.
So my mom's going to have to, like, sift through all, like, she doesn't know that there's an Xbox X Series X. Like,
it's so
she wants an Xbox One. And I told her, like,
where do you begin?
Just get the S. I don't know.
It really is. Anybody who's remotely savvy is seeing all that and going, yo, I'll get a PC. You buy a game, and it's compatible with on all of it. So
got to make it easy.
Just do that for them. And then, but on the console side, if you're just sticking to consoles.
While we're talking about this stuff that's all fucked up, I want to stir the pot. I want to add to the controversy. There was a conversation on this podcast a few weeks ago that was a little bit controversial. I have come to side with Rocco 100%.
Oh, okay.
Unequivocally.
I don't know what it is.
Rocco was correct.
Yeah.
The Lego Nintendo console.
Okay. Careful.
Is a ripoff.
Oh, yeah. God.
It is. I'm with Rocco. 100%. We had a long discussion about it. I'm going to sum it up right now. That is a $50 toy. That's all. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Derek,
it's cool. Hey. It's cool. We're not discussing whether it's cool or not, or whether you should own it or should not own it or buy it or enjoy it. Go ahead. That is $50 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
And they're charging $300.
I hope.
That's it. I agree. It's cool, but it's overpriced.
I hope you know what you signed up for. I got dragged on that, man.
I know you did.
But it was not, and I got so many, like,
and all before you go into it, all I want to say is I know you got dragged.
Yeah.
And that amazed me. The fact that you told people they should have more money in their bank account that they currently do and should have that toy. And they got mad at you for suggesting that. Fuck you that I should have more than I currently do, Rocco. You're wrong.
It wasn't that you can't enjoy it. It was just, it's the same I don't want to get
it's back the, yeah, no, I get it.
So it was just that it's expensive.
That's expensive. It's the same price as a console. I think when we had the conversation, it kind of got viewed as like how valuable are toys in general.
Yeah.
But this is a conversation about that toy specifically.
Someone said to me, Rocco, I think you're looking at this was a great response, to be fair.
Yeah.
But somebody said, Rocco, I think you're looking at this as you're telling people, why don't you go buy a painting instead of buying a puzzle of a painting?
Of the Mona Lisa, right?
You know what I mean? Like, you're telling people to go buy the Mona Lisa instead of buying a puzzle of the Mona Lisa, which was a good response because the fun of it is putting it together. Building, I get that.
Sure.
But if they were both the same price, I would say buy the original Mona Lisa. That's all I'm saying.
If you're going to
get the Nintendo console.
If you're going to drop $100,000, get the real painting. Don't go with the puzzle.
That's it.
Get the real one.
That's it.
The puzzle should be cheaper. That's what we're saying.
Everyone was telling me, yo, for $300, Rocco, you bought the, I'm not going to say how much it was, but the X-Men Sentinel.
Yeah.
If I could get a full-size Sentinel and pilot it for $300, I would have done that.
No.
But it's not.
Rocco and I are on the same page. I agree with him.
But I'm talking about the price. And that's all it is. I'm not saying like you shouldn't enjoy it. I'm not shitting on it. If that's your some people, that's their hobby, totally go for it. But I do think it should be cheaper. I do. But I had a few people that were really angry. Like, I don't think you looked into this. Like, I don't think you really know what this thing could do. It's mechanical. It could turn the thing. Have you seen all that? Did you really look into this? Research it?
Yeah.
And I would respond, yeah, I have. It'd be cool for $50. I shouldn't have said anything.
That blows
that
minds.
Was $50. Now, do you?
Hey, you said that to me, and that's where the flip switched in my brain, where I was like, holy shit, you're right.
Yeah.
$50.
It's just, how much did it cost them to make this thing to begin with?
Yeah.
This ain't Playmobil.
It has
this
a lot of pieces. I know it has a lot of pieces, but I do think I think I'm supposed to say Lego blocks. Sorry. I think in general, they do cost too much. That's all.
I think what's the crux of the conversation here is Legos are expensive to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Because of the brand, the perception that the brand is so much more valuable, but that's a perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it actually more valuable? Because we're just talking about these plastic pieces.
Yeah.
Lego's done so many branded things, Hogwarts, the Millennium Falcon.
And they're limited.
They're limited, and they're always very expensive.
Very.
So I felt like this thing was priced based on what all of these other things had already been priced.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was the motivation.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
you know, who cares?
From what I understand, there's a billion blocks in the set, and so I think they're looking at all the sets like, well, that has a billion blocks, so does this. It's, you know, it's 300,
isn't
whatever.
Isn't plastic super expensive too?
What's like, that?
Isn't plastic super expensive to produce?
Plastic has only gotten more expensive over the years.
We're not even going to talk about the environmental impact of this of Legos.
But I'm really not dogging on. I have no room to dog on anybody's hobbies. I'm not doing that. I just thought it should be cheaper.
Yeah, this, I mean, I'm making light of the situation because I do think it's funny if you tell somebody you should have spent less, they get angry.
Yeah, I'm looking out for you. I don't care what the company gets out of this. I'm looking out for you guys. I want you guys to, you know, save a pretty penny so that you can get that.
We're looking out for the little guy. We're the only ones that got your interest at heart. We're not siding with the mega corporations over here.
Yeah.
Were you saying your money would be better spent on eBay buying an NES and a CRT television and a few games that you could play for hours
and
instead
then
of just
you know what
crank.
If you want to put it together, take it all apart.
Take it all apart, put it together, move it in your sister's
bedroom,
whatever.
I'll come over and break it for you and then you'd fix it. And that kind of, it's the same thing.
You got a fucking console now.
What was I going to say about that?
That was it.
That's it. We've summed it all up, and
I think we've come to the end of the show too. It's
good point to end on.
Past the hour, we can go into the after show and keep it going.
Sean hates that.
What?
Going? Well, we keep it going.
I mean,
well, he ain't here to stop us.
Oh God. Okay.
And Johnny's editing this.
Yeah. Go as long as you want.
Wow.
Can I say a couple game things real quick?
Oh yeah. Sure.
Before we wrap it up, real Nintendo stuff, playable stuff. I just wanted to say all those events are happening this week, and then I'm excited because Friday, the Mario Collection comes out.
All Stars,
yeah, 3D All Stars,
3D All Stars.
I cleared my path and beat everything. I had all these like re-releases on Switch that I wanted to revisit and just clear out of the way, and I have completely beaten the BioShock Collection.
Nice. What was your favorite?
I wanted to do, I want to do an in-depth video on it later where I'll talk more about, like, thoughts I had after all these years on each one. But I had never played Bioshock 2. Like, Bioshock existed, then that team didn't make 2. Some side team made that, while the original team made Bioshock Infinite. So I played the original and Infinite, which are considered the mainline games. 2 was kind of like, eh. It's always brushed aside, like, yeah, we don't know who made that. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
But that one had the best gameplay. People told me, like, don't skip that. So I did go back and play that. It had the best gameplay, surprisingly, of all three. But the story, I didn't care for the story. I think there's a reason the first one and the last one were the biggest in terms of impact. But I didn't like the story, but the gameplay was actually better. You play as a big daddy in Bioshock 2, and you have all this shit you can do. And so I enjoyed it in that sense, but I was surprised. I think I said this before, how much I flipped on my opinions of the first and last one. So I'm going to do a video on my channel later. I'll go into more detail, but it was fun playing through all those. It makes me sad that I've played so many Bioshock games and all the DLC. I played all the DLC at this point that I'm kind of like, oh, there isn't another one? Oh. And it's weird. This generation there hasn't been a new Bioshock on this
PS4?
The current systems. Yeah. Wow. Like, that didn't make it to this generation. I'm kind of surprised by that.
Who makes those?
2K.
2K, yeah. 2K games.
I'm kind of surprised that they haven't done that. There's a few series that I'm like, you didn't give us a new one on this generation at all? I think it was that and... I was thinking, I guess Zelda was, we only got Breath of the Wild at the end of Wii U. I think that's what I was thinking of, but it made it to the Switch, I guess.
Yeah, it's like more of a Switch game than...
Yeah. There's some games that I'm just like, in that amount of time, you never got another one on that system. I don't know.
Metroid Prime.
Yeah, I guess Metroid would be one of them, but it's supposed to be coming. But anyway, that's all. I just wanted to bring that up.
Nice. I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, actually, when I was here, that I was reading Going Postal by Terry Pratchett. I'm almost done with it. It's my first experience with Terry Pratchett. Pretty good writer. I'll be checking out some more of his books. But I got really interested in finding like a really scary book, which is something I've never read. But I've always really wanted to read a book that was very scary. you guys ever been scared by a book? One book jump scared me once when I was in high school.
Really? Oh yeah. Yeah, more scary stories to read in the dark.
It's called Goosebumps.
I think the second one.
Yeah, that one hit you.
That got me bad. It was specifically the bride and groom who are playing hide and go seek.
Oh, the classic. Yeah,
and she goes to hide up in the trunk in the attic, and they just find her corpse later. And then the wind slammed my friend's front door.
Oh,
and after the door, like turning the page to the image of the corpse bride, yeah, all fucking shriveled and decayed, the fucking door slammed and scared the shit out of us. Perfect. It's kind of like a wind effect. I was reading
the book Hannibal in high school. It's the sequel to Silence of the Lambs. And there's a scene in there where I think it's Clarice Starling is like in some old abandoned building going through some stuff. And she keeps smelling it. And the way they describe it, it's eventually revealed. It's like the smell of a person and it's right behind you. And for whatever reason, I read that and it was getting closer. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I literally, like, watching a movie, the words jump scared me. I guess in my brain, I was thinking, like, yeah, smell. But in the idea of it, like, oh, my God, it's getting closer. But, I mean, that's like a crime book, like a mystery.
It's not scary, scary.
Yeah, so I went on the horror literature subreddit.
Yeah.
And I found a book. I haven't started reading it yet, but it's called The Terror by Dan Simmons. I'm really excited to jump into it. A lot of people were saying they couldn't read this book at night.
Holy shit.
Because it would scare them too badly.
Ooh.
So I'm almost done with Going Postal. I'll let everybody know if this book is really scary. What are some scary books? Have you ever... I feel like everybody's go-to thing for horror is movies. Like, movies, yeah, you know you're going to get scared by a good horror movie. Do books scare you? Are books scary? Have you ever read a scary book? Is it possible for a book to be scary?
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I feel like I read a lot of books that scared me. I feel like I was scared more by books than movies.
Really?
When I was younger. Yeah, because I would read stuff and it would plant shit in my brain. You know what I mean? When you're watching a movie, it can... I don't know. It's like their vision of what's scary might not match yours. Whereas when you read a book, that's you doing that. you know? So, yeah, there were a lot of, those scary storybooks. I mean, you know, as dumb as Goosebumps were, like, some of the earlier ones were kind of scary when I was a kid. I'm trying to think. As I'm older, though, I mean, as I've gotten older, I don't know when the last time it was that has happened.
Yeah, I mean, horror is a niche genre. It's the smallest section of the bookstore, you know? It's like two shelves. Horror is very niche, so.
I mean, It has some moments that are pretty scary.
I'm not going to read It because I can't commit to 1,000-plus pages.
That manuscript's that fucking big?
Yeah, that book's like...
It is like, huge.
That was what I did that for The Stand.
You read The Stand?
Yeah, that was like shit. That felt like it took like 12 years off my life. But,
I think if you look up the It audiobook, it's on YouTube. It's like 24 hours long.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that actually seems short in comparison to looking at the stack of pages. That in my mind, that's 10 years of reading.
Yeah.
So maybe 24 hours is comparatively like a
dictionary.
Okay. But
you listen for an hour a day, it would take you a month to get through the book. Yeah. Listening to it,
just barge it. Do it full 24 hours. Yeah. I've been up for 24 hours before. It's not that big.
24 hours listening to It, the audiobook. You probably literally go insane.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're on real crackhead hours by the end of that.
You turn into a clown.
Clown.
Garrett, did you see the movie, It?
Which one? The original?
The double feature from...
I've seen them all,
2017.
Yeah, I saw the part one and part two, and then, you know, definitely the original.
Were you a fan
of it? I've kind of left American horror... A long time ago. I just don't care about what they do. But I've opened my mind up a little lately and actually watched a lot of it. I never enjoy most of it.
Yeah.
But I'm actually watching and catching up on American horror lately. And I saw those and I just felt kind of like, blah.
I saw the first one and I hated it.
Those movies are regarded as like modern horror American masterpieces, but I feel like that's just marketing. And it's like insulting as a horror fan to just have that thrown at you, like the greatest horror movie made of this modern century. You'd be like,
I was entertained by them. There's moments of them that were cool.
I felt like it was the same shit where every 90 seconds they had to shove some ugly thing into the camera. It was like,
this is
the same thing in a different package. I like, please think outside the box on how you direct this
stuff. I'm gearing up for Halloween, so I've already been watching a lot of horror movies. And I've went through recently all of the James Wan, like, film verse, which is like Conjuring,
James Wan.
The Nun, La Llorona, and Annabelle. And all of these sequels, I didn't know that this is a whole universe that all ties together. Like Annabelle Comes Home and Conjuring 2 and The Nun Returns or something.
The Nun Returns. The Nun.
Sister Act 2. Back. But I've watched all of those, and kind of like last year, Kevin and a bunch of people convinced me to do that with all the Paranormal Activity movies.
Oh, that was me.
It was you, Derek. That's right. Oh, yeah. So I was like... The same way I feel about all these James Wan horror films, these Blumhouse films, I felt about last year's viewing of all the Paranormal Activities. It's like, cool, they made all these tie together, and I like the continuity, and it was worth a viewing.
By the way, my official review of the Paranormal Activity series,
The
odd number ones are amazing. The even number ones,
that was the trick,
blow chodes.
Yeah.
the odd ones are, yo, something new. And then the even ones are, we'll do that exactly again. So it's like the first one, something new. The second one, they repeat it. The third one, they try something new. The fourth one, they don't really repeat it, but they kind of like build off it. Then the fifth one is completely new.
Yeah.
The sixth one, they try something new, but it sucks. 1, 3, and 5. Awesome.
Yeah. My brother was literally just telling me, because he kind of feels the same way as me on a lot of newer horror movies, stuff like that. But he really liked The Conjuring and stuff. He said that was really good. I haven't seen any of those, but I don't know. Anytime I just feel like 99% of when I watch a horror movie, I feel burned by it. And honestly, in the last few years, the only thing I've liked is Jordan Peele's couple movies. I like
those aren't even...
Yeah,
really horror.
No, they're suspense. More Twilight Zone, but I think that's why I like them.
A lot of those American horror films are jump scary too, which I don't know. I'm just used to it now.
Yeah, that's why.
It, but you know, there.
That's why I want to find a horror book, because I want a good horror story. My problem with so many horror movies, I love the elements, kind of, you know, there's a part of the joy of a horror movie is seeing something you're not supposed to see.
Yeah.
The taboo nature of it. Seeing people getting killed and stabbed and boobs and people doing bad stuff. But we've devolved into horror movies just being that with no story to facilitate that stuff. Yeah. And even less like an interesting, intriguing, you know, story. So hopefully I'll find that.
I feel like I'm always recommended ones though that are like, no, this one's deep. This one's deep.
Yeah.
Hereditary. And then I watch them and I'm like, yeah, it's the same shit again.
Yeah, people were like that with Hereditary. I didn't really like it.
Yeah, no, I 100% with you on that. I was like, yeah, another bad thing happened to someone's head.
People say It Follows is like really good as
well. Oh, I like that.
I've never seen it, but
I love that movie.
I didn't like that.
There's some outliers.
I do love that one.
With American horror, I do like It Follows. I do really like Hereditary over Midsommar even.
Yeah.
And there's some outliers where I'm into, you know, that kind of stuff. But
it's prime for a revival. Horror is in a slump right now, so it's a good time for somebody to do a new horror movie.
Well, the stuff coming out of Asia was so sick. For a while there, you had like really good Korean and Japanese horror films that got to me, but that's where I'd been focusing my attention in recent years.
Well, I remember when I worked at Blockbuster, we got copies of The Audition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it was always like Hicks renting it, and they didn't know it was like from another country.
Oh, this damn thing.
So here's this
read.
Movie that everyone is saying, like, dude, this is a horror movie you need to see. And then it was all these Southern dudes renting it, and they'd come in. I don't know. I don't. Now this is. I'm seeing subtitles now. Is this supposed to be like that? I spent so long reading it, I don't know if anything bad happened in the damn movie.
Is it supposed to be like
that? I mean, it was just like, cool. I mean, I hear it's great. I haven't seen it. Maybe you guys know.
It's great.
No, I don't know.
I always heard praise for The Audition, but not horror movies, but a giant franchise. I just want to say, at some point too, I know I said this about Bioshock, but I want to do a video about this too at some point so I could talk about it for like 2 hours. But I did not give up. Actually, it's a perfect time to bring it up because Sean's not here. Mm-hmm. I'm scared to bring up the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Another, I don't know how it happened, but this, the Fast and the Furious became another.
We watched it on Movie Club, by the way.
Yeah.
The episode is out.
Oh, yeah. It's been out for.
So you can see Sean's visceral reaction to this film.
Every now and then there's a movie that comes out. And when you ask Sean about it, it's like he was robbed or stabbed during it. Like, hey, Sean, what'd you think of Hellboy? Ah, Hellboy, fuck. You know what? Fuck Hellboy. Fuck Hellboy. I don't know what the fuck happened. Fuck that. Okay. All right. Yeah, I thought the makeup was pretty good. And right? I mean, it's like something like that where it's like, I don't think it was that bad, man.
He treats it like it's the last one Bruce Wayne's parents took him to.
I don't know what happened, but that was the Fast and the Furious. We had a review, and I think me and Derek were both going into it like, it's all right. You know, like...
Yeah, it's a shitty 2000-era action movie.
Yeah, and he...
Yeah.
I think he was blown away. We weren't more mad or something, but he was like, this movie is a fucking waste of time. They come into my house, and you know what? No, I don't want to see your cars. I don't... And it was like, I really don't think it was that bad. But I made a commitment. I got the box set. I'm making it through of them.
Well, oh, man.
Sean kept saying Fast and the Furious pissed him off.
Yeah.
Because it reminded him of people he went to high school with.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking, this is a movie about undercover police officers infiltrating the world of street racing. Did we go to the same high school? Who are these people you're being reminded of?
Who did Sean go to school?
We were all in drama together.
He went to 21 Jump Street.
Who did he go to school with? I don't know.
Yo, I did not like Tenet. Why? Just reminds me of high school, dude. Did time flow correctly in your school?
You know what he means? It's the people he went to high school with loved those movies. Loved
maybe that's what he meant.
Culture.
Yeah, maybe. There is,
maybe.
The main character does have it. It's funny that we're saying this, Derek, because after I watched the first one, my brother, who had seen them, said to me, he's like, doesn't that guy have vibes of who was in your high school? Like, in your
college?
And I was like, that's weird you had that observation, too. Paul Walker has vibes of some of the guys we went to high school with. But that didn't,
you know what?
Affect me. Like, it didn't
hurt
me.
Let me say, that is true.
Yeah.
That's because this movie came out when we were in high school.
Yeah, and, the same and time.
Paul Walker was really famous.
Yeah,
he influenced.
Guys dressed like him.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's not that people like that guy reminds me of high school. People in high school were imitating that guy.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, anyway. So I made it. I am up to. I just watched the sixth one.
Oh my god.
And I'm making my
You're
way
deep.
Through. But let me say,
I heard that they switch. They become spy movies.
Those are James Wan movies as well, right?
But let me say, what I don't think enough people market this series as, because I just, whenever people bring them up to me, man, it's crazy, cargo, boom, that's all I hear.
Yeah.
What needs to be articulated and commended is that this series does all that. I mean, the fifth one was one of the craziest fucking action movies I've ever seen. I mean, they're dragging a bank vault down the highway and like, all the...
Oh, that was cool.
But... this series got there somehow, I don't know how, organically. Like, I can't stand the Rambo movies because to me, the first one was like emotional. And then suddenly the second and third, it's just, go kill a bunch of motherfuckers. Like, who cares?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that I check out. Like, I don't like it. But Fast and the Furious, it's like just this gang of people getting more and more notoriety to the point that shit implodes. It actually got there organically, so I'm enjoying it. I'm honestly enjoying it. So I'll let you know what I think of all of them at the end.
Are you going to? Are you going all the way to Hobbs and Shaw?
I'm doing it all.
Oh fuck yeah!
I'm doing it all.
I can't wait.
So anyway, I've watched up to six, and
now you're gonna go back to Universal Studios. Got to ride the 3D ride again.
Yeah, yeah. That first time I.
Now you know the canon.
Yeah.
The lore.
I think we have to end this before I disappear. Because I'm getting smaller and smaller
here. Yeah, I think it's time to end this show.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
But I mean, do we even want to do an after show or
Now
I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
I used all my after show material
at some point.
I got some.
At some point. Yeah. Yeah. We got some after show stuff. Yeah. Actually, before we close this out, we'll end on this.
Uh-huh.
I just want to give a shout out to our friends, want to give a big shout out to our friends at Tenga. These guys have been loyal supporters of the podcast and we support them. You know, we went to their HQ in Osaka and, you know, I tried out all their products and just really want to say those guys are really something else. So anyway, they sent a care package
and
I want to say thank you, to them. We got a fresh batch of Tenga eggs.
Oh, cockadoodle do.
Ready to.
This rooster is ready to crow.
I'm not coming into work tomorrow.
yeah, ready to you guys. I'm gonna say go nuts.
Are these for Easter? These are
It's Easter every day when Tenga's in town.
Wow, so, beautiful.
Anyway, we got that. There's all kinds of shit. You know, we got all you name it. It's in here. So we got
and
all kinds of
let me just say, this is like a sponsorship, so I got to give him a proper plug.
Yeah,
proper plug. You put your penis in this stuff, and it makes it it feels good.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I don't know if you're listen, America. What we need more, what we legitimately need more in America, is we need to make genitals feel good. I think there's too much of genitals feeling bad,
sensation.
Or people are not pleasuring them properly, and it's spilling out into the streets.
Yeah,
violence, controversy. Wonder Woman's in 1984 now.
It's,
you know what
it's
I mean?
It's chaos.
And there's not a Tenga egg in sight. It's chaos. Big Brother is watching you, but not watching you jerk off.
Yeah.
Here, Johnny.
We need to be more sex positive. That's the only way we're going to get through
this. Yeah, I kind of lost the point here, but the point is this stuff.
It helps.
You put it on.
This one, I don't know. I honestly really don't know.
What does that look like?
That looks like it's got electrodes.
It looks like a hard drive.
It vibrates. Ooh, and shit. I don't know.
Ooh. Now, does Tenga have anything for female persuasion?
This might be that. I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not entirely sure. I think this might be what this is.
Wait, pass that down the line here. Let's see what we're dealing with.
Huh.
Garrett, you would know.
Yeah, this is...
he would.
It's an elongated luxury massager. This is definitely
all right.
Back massage
could be used by anyone, but I think that this would be better served.
So we have things to engage with the penis. We have things to engage with the vaginal.
We can engage with
yeah.
We can engage
everything.
I engaged a couple items already. That's what's left at this point. But sure, and gotcha, I just want to say they those guys are giving 110%.
It's called Iroha.
Thank you, Tenga. Engage.
Iroha.
They have a thing called I think it's called like the Twist.
Ooh.
Or Twister, something like that. Yeah,
that
didn't.
Oh,
I can vouch that one did.
You keep taking those.
Yeah, so Rago, how come you keep using this stuff before you bring it and tell anybody else that?
Yeah, why are you getting dibs?
I don't want to promote anything I don't know. You know, I'm doing my due diligence. Oh. So you're welcome.
Johnny cracked an egg.
I'm trying to, but it's taped.
Anyway, we're going to end this on Sean is going to, you know, he didn't get to do anything in the show. Sure. He's going to demo some of these products for you, and we'll end on that. So take it away, Sean.
Sean,
good night,
everybody. Sean, you can use the Iroha with the egg together for a demonstration.
Yeah.
Go take it away.
So isn't that special for him? Take it away. Good night.
Came here with nothing.
Cool.
Oh my God.
Jesus. That was such a confusing visual.
And I'm gonna fly away, everybody. Goodbye. Squaw! Squaw!
Oh, he
squaw,
can really do.
Squaw!
Get away. Get away.